There's been a theme throughout the hymns chosen. God's promise to Evie, God's promise to every believer, and the steadfastness of those promises. And also the promise of those who follow Jesus Christ, the promise of devotion and affection to him as they seek to honour him in their lives. And so I'm just going to pick up that theme of promise as we look through this passage together. I wonder if we can go to... Lovely, thank you. These are just three principles from this passage. It might be helpful to have page 1014 open in front of you. Just going to go through these three principles. The first one is very simply this, verses 3 to 5. The future is Christ. It belongs to Jesus Christ. The future is Christ's, and he promises, Christian, Evie, he promises to share it with you. Okay? The future is Christ's. And he promises to share it with you if you are a Christian. There are two things in this these verses. The first one is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead in verse 3. He has died to save from sin, to take the punishment of sin for us. And he has risen again in victory. So there's a resurrection of Jesus Christ. But also in verse 5, there's a time that is to come. The resurrection has happened. There's a time that is to come about Jesus, and that is his revelation. We're waiting for him to come again. Not to occupy a cross, but to occupy a place where he is honoured and loved and worshipped by all. His resurrection and his revelation means that he has conquered sin and one day will come as a perfect saviour to complete that rescue. And that means that the future of this world doesn't hang in the balance of anything. It's held by Jesus Christ. The future is his. You see, this world will one day be made into a new heaven and a new earth. God will recreate, as he has recreated every believer in him, he will recreate the world, a new heaven and a new earth, and it's all in his hands. It's in his timing, it's in his care. This world does not hang in the balance. It's held by Jesus Christ. The future belongs to him. One day he will come back. And that future that he anticipates and we are told to anticipate is a future that he shares with us. Evie, there are promises in here about your Christian life. Christian, there are promises in here about your Christian life that should cause your hearts to thrill. We are told that until Jesus Christ comes, what is ours, held by him, is safely held. Do you see that? There's, in terms of inheritance, verse 4, we've been born again, we've been given new life, but there's something else to come, an inheritance that is ours. Verse 4, it's imperishable, undefiled, unfading. In other words, it is untouchable and kept solely for you. If you like, it's locked in the safe of heaven and will only come out when Christ returns. And then it will be given. There is an inheritance, Evie. There's an inheritance. I don't know how much your mum and dad have in the bank, okay? But this inheritance is greater than anything that I'll ever be able to pass on to you, okay? This inheritance that comes from Jesus Christ, paid for by him and is graciously given to every child of God. Our future is a future that is shared with us by Jesus Christ. Do you get a sense of how secure you are, Christian, then? If our future is wrapped up in his future, and his future is certain and glorious, then our future is certain and sweet, because it all comes from him. Do you get the security of that, Christian? We're told in these verses I think, a way to get us to think about the security that is ours. We're told that we have a living hope. A living hope. You may have realized there's a football tournament on in Russia. Okay? If you haven't, shame on you. Where have you been for the last few weeks? Some teams have now no hope. This is one of the few times that a British person can say this. Germany are out of the World Cup before England. They have no hope. There is dead hope. The flags are coming down. The strips are coming off. The Germans are turning their mind to other things. There is no hope for Germany proceeding in the World Cup. You don't all have to smile at that. Then there is, there's a hopeful hope because England are still in. And if I was to ask you as England fans, those of you who are, how hopeful are you about Tuesday's match? I don't know. I'd like to think we could win, but I'm not sure. There's hope, but it's a hopeful hope. It might work out, and it might not work out. And a Celtic voice kind of mixed feelings about that, to be honest. But then we're told in the scriptures about something, not that it's a dead hope, or not this is a hopeful hope, but it's a living hope. And because Christ is raised from the dead, our hope is in him. And because he is now alive, never to die again, our hope is certain. It's not dead. It's not a possible. It's a certain hope. Christian, you are wrapped up in the certainty of a past event. Christ has been raised from the dead and will one day return and be revealed to us. Evie, you are as safe as houses because of Jesus Christ. He has you, and he's not in the habit of letting go of his people. He promises to hold on to what is ours in the inheritance, and he promises to hold on to us. It's not just our inheritance that's held, it's that we are kept by God's power. Not our power, not our strength, but God's power. We are kept by him for that day. So the future is Christ's. And he promises, Christian, Evie, to share it with you. Security is a key word in that idea. Here's the next principle. The path is not smooth. And he promises that he's working on you. In case you haven't realized, Evie smiles a lot. Okay? The delightful character who smiles a lot. I'm sure there are times when she doesn't smile, but Mum and Dad, we don't see that, so we don't really care. Okay? Evie, I would love to tell you, Christian, I would love to tell you that Christian life is a life of smiles. But it's not. And there'll be times that we cause ourselves grief. There'll be times that others cause us grief. And there'll be times we live in a world that's sick and broken. And that will cause us grief. And Peter knows that. He's wept with the best of them. And he knows that the Christian life is not smooth. So he says in verse 6, just have a little look at that, if you've got a Bible open in front of you. He says, in this you rejoice, in the prospect of being held by Christ and being given by Christ inheritance that cannot fade. We rejoice in that, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. That is real, Christian. Various trials, probably you'll be surprised at where they come from. And they will come. And they will hurt. When he writes grieved by various trials, that's a serious word. Grieved is a serious word. But I want you to see there's two things. One of them's on the screen. He promises that through this absence of a smooth path, through this rough path, at times this difficult trials, He promises that he's working in you for your good and for the glory of Jesus Christ. He promises that he is purifying us, and he's promising that one day it will all result in more praise, glory, and honor to Jesus Christ. Do you see that? The various trials that we face are used by Jesus Christ to make us more like Jesus Christ. Only God could do that. Only God could work through weeping and tears and brokenness and sickness. Only God could work through grief at various trials for our good. But Evie, he will. There will be times, I trust, we'll have the privilege, not just of a joyous day like this. I trust we'll have the privilege of standing you when you're weeping, and you'll stand with us when we weep. But in those days, God is purifying us, that we trust in him and become more like him. But it's not just that he's working on us. It's that one day we will know it is worth it. This is important. One day, it will all result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When he comes, and he will, and he is the center of attention, it will all make sense. The things that we cannot now understand, the things that cause us sadness and sorrow, we will understand and rejoice because he will be honored all the more. Isn't that a wonderful prospect? The things that confuse us today, we will look back and see that it was all for the glory of Jesus Christ. That is priceless. And I trust some of us, Evie, will have the privilege of reminding you that as the days and years roll on, that one day it will be gloriously worth it. So remember, he's working on you, and it will be worth it. So we've just sung, my heart is filled with thankfulness to him who walks beside, who floods my weaknesses with strength and causes fear to fly. The danger with that, those words in that verse is they just trip off the tongue. They're written really well, and they're actually very easy to sing. They're really hard to live through. But we will live through them together, Evie, and trust that God will be glorified in them. Lastly, let me show you this. Verses 10 to 12. The plan, God's plan of rescue from sin in this world, the plan includes you, Evie, Christian, but it's not about you. We live in a world that puffs up the idea that our self-esteem is of primary importance. But this world is not about you. This world is about the God who has made it and Jesus Christ who reigns over it. And one day that will become wonderfully, evidently true. In verses 10 to 12, we're told about people who knew something of God's plan and knew that they would not see it in their lifetime on earth, but that it one day would come. He talks about the prophets in verse 10 who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours and searched and inquired carefully. They were wondering, who is it and when's he coming? And they were told, the one who would suffer and be glorified was coming, but not yet. And then there are those like Peter who saw Jesus in his sufferings and his glories, is risen again from the dead and ascended to heaven. He saw that. And then there's a generation after that, the people who received this letter, who simply heard. They don't see Jesus, but they hear about him. And what Peter does is he wraps all of them up and says, they've had to wait. We saw. They've heard. And we belong to those who have heard. And actually, it's all part of one wonderful plan. And if God can say to the prophets who prophesied, it's not about you, it's about Jesus Christ coming. It's not about you today, it's about a time in the future. If he can say to Peter, you have to share the news of me to others, if he can do all of that, surely the lesson we learn, Christian church, is that our rescue is not just about me. Evie, we love you, and I trust in the years to come we'll remind you of that. We trust you find a special place in the church, but it's about Jesus Christ. He's the one who's rescued you. He's the one you've committed to follow. He's the one you have been following, and he's the one we're committed to following. And we rejoice in the fact that you're joining us in that path. And there might be times we have to remind you that this is not about you. This is about Jesus Christ. About his plan coming to, well, fruition, coming to fruit. That many more will be added. The plan includes us, but it's not about us. One day Christ will be revealed, and we'll realize that he is the one that it's all about. And then the world will truly make sense. And until that day, we can walk together and remind each other that we're not the most important people on earth. Christ is. The future is Christ's, and he promises Christian to share it with you. Isn't that wonderful? The path is not smooth, but he promises that in that he's working on us, and that one day it will be worth it. And while the plan includes us, it's not about us. It's all about Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. And he is the Saviour. Evie, these truths are easy to nod at and agree with. But as I've grown as a Christian, I've realised just how important they are. And so my prayer for you, every time I turn to this passage, I trust I will pray for you that you will grow in these things and you will grow in your love of the Lord Jesus Christ.